you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 145 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host as usual. And today I'm both host and guest. That's right. You got me all to yourself for the next few minutes. I thought I would just take a little break here, something I don't do often enough, and take the time to say a few words to our listeners and most of all, to thank our listeners for being here all this time, 145 episodes, almost 3 years now, coming up in February. So, you know, I have a lot to be thankful for, given the fact that I thought this podcast, really, when I started it, as you probably have heard in past episodes, I started it, frankly, to learn a few things myself. Some would say to get free advice. I thought maybe if I was lucky, the podcast would go maybe 6 months or so, and then I'd figure out what I wanted to do after that. Little did I know that it would turn out to be popular as it is, and now we're still here almost 3 years later, and I don't see any reason to stop anytime soon because it seems to be going well, and people are enjoying it, and I'm enjoying doing it. So with that, I will just say thank you again to all of you who have been through the process from the beginning, and even if not, if you just came on board recently, I appreciate it. Thank you for being here. And don't forget to tell all your friends. We must be doing something right because December was our best month ever in the history of the podcast in terms of number of downloads and other indications as to how people are consuming the product. So I was very grateful for that. You know, it was a welcome surprise at the end of the year during the holiday season. Which I hope everybody had a great one. I did until we all came down with the bubonic plague. So we were sick there for a fair amount of time. That coupled with a snowstorm that we had here on the East Coast. And of course, the shutdown of the government. And things have been topsy-turvy for the last couple of weeks or so. And as a result, I've gotten a little behind on a bunch of stuff. So I wanted to do this at the end of the year, right at the beginning. As I said, things have been a little discombobulated, and so we're at where we're at now. And I thought let's do a few things and clear a few things off our plate for 2019. So what have I been doing for this last couple 3 weeks or since the turn of the year? Well, one of the things that I've done is I've read a lot of books. I've done a lot of reading, and I thought I would take a few minutes and share some observations about the books that I've read, kind of plug them. Hopefully, some of you may decide to read them and talk about them on our web page or Facebook page or what have you. But anyway, I thought I'd share some thoughts about that. One of the first books I read was a book called Atomic Habits, The Easy and Proven Way to Build Good Habits and Break Bad Ones. This is a book written by James Clear. It's on the New York Times bestseller list for a while. I think it's still up there on the Amazon list. I was lucky enough before the end of the year to go to a event, a Cadre event. If you've been a listener of the program, you know that I'm a member of Cadre DC, a program run by Derek and Melanie Coburn, which is an un-networking group, which is appropriately named since Derek wrote the book Networking is Not Working. So Cadre is an un-networking group and kind of a professional development and just really a fun thing to be a part of. And one of the things that they do four times a year is have these events where oftentimes they bring in a noted author to do a presentation on a book that they've recently written or some other program that they're involved in. And James came in and wanted to talk about his book, Atomic Habits. And it was a fascinating presentation that he gave. And so I couldn't wait to read the book. And it seemed to be an appropriate book to read at the end of the year. You know, with I'm a big New Year's resolution kind of guy. And the idea of trying to develop stronger good habits and break bad habits is always part of that rejuvenation process at the end of the year. So the book was really kind of a timely endeavor for me. And it's a book that builds on the teaching and the writing of Charles Duhigg, who wrote one of my favorite books called The Power of Habit a few years ago. In Charles Duhigg's book, The Power of Habit, he talks about the science behind how habits are formed and basically goes into a great deal of depth about the science concerning the four-step process called the habit loop. And those four steps are 1, the cue, 2, the craving, 3, the response, and 4, the reward. And in Duhigg's book, he talks about how you have to have all 4 of those components for a habit to be formed. The cue is something that stimulates the craving. The craving is the effect caused by the cue. The response is what you do in response to that craving. And then the reward, what do you get out of that response that reinforces the need to perform it again the next time that cue appears? And it's a fascinating book, real science-oriented, and I got a great deal out of reading it. But I always felt at the end of that book that the missing component was, okay, given the understanding of the power of habit, how do you implement that yourself? What practical steps can you take to build on that knowledge? Well, that is the aspect that James Clear, addresses in his book, Atomic Habits. And his basic premise, and I'm not giving the book away because he's written this on his blog, which you can read at jamesclear.com. He's also appeared many places on TV. I saw him recently on NBC News talking about his book. And anyway, his viewpoint is that it's really important that we make small incremental improvements in our lives. 1% is what he referred it to, 1% improvement. And he goes through the math to show you how a daily 1% improvement can amount to tremendous results. And as an example, if you did 1 push-up the first day and you improve that by 1%, how many push-ups would you be doing by the end of the year? So that kind of thing. And he breaks the process down into 3 or 4 basic steps himself, or 4 laws that he speaks of in order to create these small incremental habits. And 1, first is to make it obvious. 2 is to make it attractive. 3 is to make it easy. And 4 is to make it satisfying. So I'll leave it to you to read the book to understand what that means, but it's pretty straightforward. Make the habit obvious is something that you can easily and readily be connected with. Make it attractive. It's something that you want to do that is beneficial to you. It should be easy. If it's difficult to do, you're not going to do it. So the small incremental step is the easy step. And then there's some value that you derive from it, some reward, if you will, some benefit, and that has to be satisfying. And then a large part of the book has to do with stacking these processes on top of each other so you can have one habit lead to another. And he talks about this really as an example. I thought this was fascinating. A client of his whose real objective was to really wanted to lose weight. And James Clear was saying that, you know, if you made lose weight your New Year's resolution, it's more of a goal and more of an objective and doesn't really tell you how to go about doing that. And for somebody who has difficulty, as I do, with that concept of losing weight, how do you translate that into discrete steps that you can then build a habit around? So he talked about this client who every day got up, got dressed in his gym clothes, and for the first month, all he did was drive to the gym. Drove to the gym, sat there in the parking lot for a minute, turned around, and came home. And I thought, well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But when you think about it, the habit that this gentleman was building was the idea that every day I go to the gym. So he made it easy. And that was one of the steps of make it obvious, make it attractive, make it easy, make it satisfying. So he made this really easy. So the first month, all he did was drive to the gym, drive home. Once he started to establish that as a habit, the next month, he drove to the gym, went in, and did exactly 5 minutes of exercise. Packed up, turned around, and went home. And again, this was just stacking that small incremental step of a habit on top of another. Now, it sounds kind of simplistic here, but when you think about it, if it was somebody who had a real difficulty kind of getting in the process of and the habit of going to a gym on a daily basis, this is an interesting way to kind of develop and reinforce those steps that lead towards the objective or the goal. And I thought about that in terms of how we as attorneys run our business, and how I know if I look back on my resolutions for 2018, I had some lofty goals in terms of revenue. And I wrote them all down and broke it down into terms of what it would take. But I didn't set down specific steps and activities that I could build into a habit, so to speak, that would manifest themselves in the results, achieving that goal. So this book really spoke to me, and I got a ton out of it. And I can't wait to go back and reread it, because each chapter has some action steps to do. And I wanted to read through the whole book and then go back and do the action steps. So that's on my list of things here. So I'll report back to you when that's accomplished. But the book's called The Atomic Habits, An Easy and Proven Way to Build Good Habits and Break Bad Ones, by James Clear. Tagline is Tiny Changes, Remarkable Results. So I highly recommend that you pick up that book and make it part of your reading list for 2019. So the next book that I read over the holiday break was a book called Never Lose a Customer Again. And tagline there is Turn Any Sale into Lifelong Loyalty in 100 Days. So Never Lose a Customer Again. This book is written by Joey Coleman, and Joey is actually a member of Cadre DC. So, and I've got to meet him a few times. I got his book last year at what was billed as Cadre Con, a day-long gathering of folks associated with Cadre speakers and what have you. And I got his book then at that event. Never got around to reading it. And so one of the things I wanted to do over the holidays was to tackle that book. And I have to tell you that it's probably the most influential book I've read in the last 5 years. Could be a real game changer. In the book, Joey Coleman defines an approach to plan for developing the customer experience. End to end, from the moment the customer meets your company, or in this case, your firm, comes in contact with it, to the point where they become an advocate on behalf of your business, your law practice, and become a fan that obviously goes out into the community and helps spread the word about how great the service and the work that you do is. In Joey's book, he breaks down the customer experience, which, you know, at times we refer to as client relations, but he breaks that process down into 8 distinct phases. And as I said, it starts with the assessment phase, when the potential client is assessing your firm as to whether or not you might be able to do the work that they're seeking to have performed, and goes through 8 successive steps, or a total of 8 steps, to where they become an advocate for your firm, or as I'll talk about in a moment, maybe a raving fan, if you will. What I really liked about the book, and what really gave me pause to think about, was the detail to which Joey broke down each of these steps and how important they are to the overall experience that the potential client might have with your firm. And it was really easy to translate into a law firm. I think, you know, oftentimes when you read a book such as this, a business development book, the books are written more towards businesses that have recurring clients, or you know, a product that is being sold, or some service that's sold on a recurring basis, something like that. And while this certainly applies to that kind of environment, it also readily translated into what you might want to do, and what you might want to think about in terms of improving the client experience at your law firm. This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM and case management tool I've been using for years to manage my practice. If you're feeling swamped trying to keep track of cases and clients, but you don't want to pay the hefty price tag of something like Salesforce or other legal-specific tools, I recommend you give Daylight a look. Daylight helps me prioritize my day. It helps me keep track of my clients, cases, documents, emails, calendars, to-dos, and reminders, all in one place. The case management part of Daylight makes it really easy to organize all the details and work for each case, so things are done on time. The best part of Daylight is that it lets you work offline. You don't need an internet connection to pull up case details or info about a client like with other CRMs and case management tools. And new in Daylight is their Zapier integration, so you can automate things like pulling new leads from a contact form on your website right into Daylight. And for techies like me, you know that integration with tools like Zapier is really fundamental to making something like Daylight work the way you want it to work. So to learn how Daylight can help you grow your practice, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. And be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first month subscription. That's Daylight by Market Circle. The legal environment is more competitive than ever, and small law firms are feeling the pinch. With over 1.3 million attorneys in the United States and counting, it can be hard to stand out from the crowd. And that's why Spotlight Branding helps lawyers become unforgettable. Spotlight Branding is a different kind of internet marketing company. They don't put their clients on the SEO hamster wheel, and they don't ask them to burn thousands of dollars on speculative pay-per-click advertising. Instead, they're focused on the fundamentals of legal marketing that have worked for dozens upon dozens of years. They use the internet to build a premium brand for solo and small firm lawyers like myself, and they put systems in place to create top-of-mind awareness, allowing their clients to maximize the referrals and repeat business. It's the smart way to grow your law firm. To get more information, visit spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur, and receive a special gift from our friends there at Spotlight Branding. Spotlight Branding, helping lawyers become unforgettable. Support for today's episode comes from Ruby Receptionists, dedicated to helping you grow your practice one happy caller at a time. From their offices in Portland, Oregon, Ruby's live remote receptionists create an exceptional experience for your callers by answering calls live with your custom greeting, delighting callers in English or Spanish, transferring calls, taking messages, collecting new client intake, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist at a fraction of the cost. For 15 years, Ruby has been turning rings into relationships. For more information, call 844-895-7829 or visit paulruby.com/lawentrepreneur. And so it translated really well for me. And one of the things I liked, as I said, was the systemic way that he approaches the development of this experience. You know, I think if you've listened to the podcast long enough, or if you've just been paying attention in your practice, we all have done bits and pieces of this, you know, about what the client experience is. And we've thought about it in, you know, some aspects, but not end to end, perhaps. So in reading this book, it made me think, okay, well, what I need to do here, what I want to do here, is define what the customer experience is going to be end to end, from the moment they first make contact with the law firm until the time the services have been provided. Hopefully they are, then we follow up with them and they become a raving fan, as I said. And in each one of those eight phases, at the end of the chapter, there's a chapter devoted to each. At the end of the chapter, he discusses ways to apply what was described in the chapter in a number of different ways. And those were, you know, consistent from chapter to chapter, in the sense that it was, how do you apply, or what do you do to improve the client experience in person, face to face? Or how can you address this phase using email or regular mail or the phone or video or maybe gifting? So there were examples of what to do and how to do it across each of those domains. So if you wanted to simply address how to improve the client experience, and you said, okay, I want to go through this end-to-end, and I'm only going to talk about email, maybe an autoresponder program or a series of emails that walk the client through the pre-engagement phase, the engagement phase, and the post-engagement phase. You could do it just looking at email. Or if you said, I want to look at using video for end-to-end experience. You could look at each one of those phases and address it from how I implement some aspect of video communications to enhance the client experience. So it was really very actionable, and I couldn't wait to start writing stuff down and trying to pull this plan together. Joey in his book says, okay, do this one chapter at a time. Don't read all the way through the book and then come back and, you know, start over. And of course, that's exactly what I did. I read all the way through the book and then went back and started over trying to lay out the client experience. And it's really been eye-opening for me, and it's kind of triggered me to do some more consistent things. You know, I've done a few of these, or many of aspects of this haphazardly. Here, there, a few spots, not always for every client, not always for every type of client. And this made me think about, okay, let's plan this out from end to end so we have a system here that we can improve upon and gauge how well it's working and go from there. And so, like I said, this might be a game-changing experience reading Joey's book. I'm going to have to tell him how sorry I am that I waited 6 months to start the book, but how thrilled I am. To have read it, and can't wait to actually work the book, work the plan. So again, it's another aspect of what I will keep you informed of as we go forward. But the book again is called Never Lose a Customer Again by Joey Coleman. Turn any sale into lifelong loyalty in 100 days. And I highly recommend it. Now, as I was reading that book, I mentioned the phrase, you know, in the end, the last phase of the experience that Joey talks about is the advocate phase, where the client becomes an advocate on behalf of your firm. And it reminded me of a book written 25 years or so ago called Raving Fans by Ken Blanchard and Sheldon Bowles. And Ken Blanchard is the author of the 1 Minute Manager fame, which was all the rage again, like I said, 25 years ago. So I said, you know, I had that book and I read it a long time ago, back when I, you know, long before I was in the practice of law, when I was in another business. And so sure enough, I looked on my bookshelf and I found it. It's a very small book. You can read it literally in one sitting. And it's kind of a hokey parable, you know, hokey story that conveys the essence of the book, which boils down to this, 3 steps, okay? Decide what you want. Create the vision for your law firm, so to speak. 2, discover what the customer wants. Understand, you know, what the client might be looking for. And then 3, deliver plus one. In other words, under promise and over deliver. So deliver just a little more than you promised and seek to obtain a 1% improvement each time, which sounds strangely enough like, you know, a combination of Atomic Habits, 1% improvement, and under promise and over deliver, you know, the general premise of never lose a customer again. So it's kind of funny to go back and read that book. As I said, in one sitting, it's really short, easy to do, and see how it kind of dovetailed with the other 2 books. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So if you've never read it, I'm not sure I would go out and buy it, but it's something I'm sure you can find at the library and sit down one afternoon and you know, read it in about the time it takes you to to drink a large big gulp or something like that. It's not very long, but it was interesting, and I thought that it had a message that still resonates today, you know, some 25 years later. So that's Raving Fans by Ken Blanchard and Sheldon Bowles. So put that on your list as well. And last but not least, again, I'm reading another book that was written by a cadre member. The book is called The Pumpkin Plan, which is kind of, you know, an interesting title. The Pumpkin Plan, a simple strategy to grow a remarkable business in any field. And it's by Mike Michalowicz. And, you know, it's interesting. He takes this idea that he was reading an article about farmers who grow gigantic pumpkins, you know, in the fall and seeking to achieve the world record for largest pumpkin, you know, grown. And one of the farmers outlined an 8-step process for what you have to do if you want to be a giant pumpkin growing champion. And he read the article, did Mike Michalowicz, and said, you know what, if you just change a couple words there, that's a plan really for growing successful business. And so he changed a few words and he wrote a whole book around it, and it became a bestseller, his 2nd bestseller. And that's the next book I started reading. And I have to admit, I'm not quite done with it yet. But the basic premise, you know, kind of the euphemism here is you have to plant the right seeds. Okay. You have to weed out the losers and you have to nurture the winners. So in a very global sense, you know, that kind of dovetails with, you know, the other books that I've talked about here and a lot of what people have talked about on the podcast about, you know, picking the right niche, planting the right seeds, so to speak, weeding out the losers. And that means, you know, not taking cases that aren't in your wheelhouse or taking cases with clients that you don't really enjoy working with. Just got to weed those out. And nurturing the winners, again, under-promising and over-delivering. That theme seems to come through in all of these books about how to nurture those winners for growth in your firm. So I'm enjoying reading Mike's book. It's pretty casually written. I would say, when as you read it, you really feel like you're just sitting down over a cup of coffee or an adult beverage and talking about business with a guy who knows what the heck he's talking about. He himself has built a couple of multi-million-dollar businesses, sold them, and now he writes full time. And I'm really enjoying the Pumpkin Plan. I can't give you a full synopsis of the book, as I'm only about two-thirds of the way through, but it's what I'm up to now, and I thought I'd just share that with you as well. So, The Pumpkin Plan by Mike Michlowitz. So, Nick, I guess this kind of sounds like it's, you know, the literary hour here at The Law Entrepreneur. But, you know, that's what I've been doing lately, and that's where my mind has been at. And I'm trying to use those books to help plan my strategy for 2019 in more concrete terms than I did last year. Last year, as I said, I had some lofty goals, but didn't actually ever reduce the goals much to discrete actionable steps. And this is something that I want to be better at this year. And the books have really inspired me and really given me some clarity. And more than that, have given me an approach on how to do so. And so I'm very interested in implementing that and seeing, you know, what results I can generate as a result of doing so. So anyway, that's the books that I've been reading. So I'll finish up here with just a couple other things and then let you all go. And thank you for being here this week. I wanted to go back and say thank you to a couple of past guests, Allison Williams and Carolyn Elephant. If you listen to episode 142, we pitched the fact that they were doing a solo meetup here in D.C. back on January 10th, so a couple weeks ago. I went to that, and I had a great time. There were about 50 or so folks who attended over the course of the three-hour event. Allison and Carolyn did a bang-up job presenting the event. It was at a local spot here in D.C. called Bus Boys and Poets, which is fabulous space. And I really had a great time there. I got to meet a lot of people who listened to the show. Thank you, all of you who came up to me at the event and introduced yourself. And we had a couple of other folks there who have been on the show before, Nakia Gray, as an example. And so that was fun to see all of them. So next time they do an event, I believe there's going to be another one, we'll be sure to keep you posted here on The Law Entrepreneur. And I encourage you, if you're anywhere near the area, to take advantage of it, because it really was a very fun event and got a lot out of it. Now, something else that I'm hoping to get a lot out of, if you listen to last week's episode 144, you heard Lincoln Mead, who is the co-chair of the ABA Tech Show, which is coming up here in Chicago at the end of February, February 27th through March 2nd. I just got word a few minutes ago, a little bird told me that the early bird pricing for the ABA Tech Show has been extended, I think, to the end of the month. It was supposed to expire on the 15th. But they're going to go to the end of the month. So if you're at all considering going to the ABA Tech Show, which I hope you will, because I went last year, had a fabulous time. We talked about it on the show then, as well as last week. If you're going to go or thinking about going, now's the time to pull the trigger, get that early bird pricing special. And no, I don't get anything for pitching this. Is just something I believe in and something that I enjoyed, and I would love to hook up with any of you who go out to Chicago. You know, maybe we can go get a deep dish pizza together and enjoy downtown Chicago and the ABA Tech Show. So that's, as I said, coming up the end of February, beginning of March. You can find it online and register there. All right. So thanks again for being a part of the process here. Don't forget, we're always looking for great guests. So if you know of somebody you think would be a good guest for the show, drop me a line at neil@thelawentrepreneur.com. That's my email address, neil@thelawentrepreneur.com. I'd love to hear your suggestions or maybe what you'd like to hear on the show, any thoughts you might have about the show. I'm all ears, so I'd love to hear from you. And don't forget to share the fact that if you do enjoy the podcast, share that with your friends. Tell everybody you know, twist their arms to listen. You know, the larger our audience, the more things and more special things we can do and offer. So come join us on our Facebook page or join our mailing list. Follow us on Twitter. You can find us. You're smart folks. You know how to do that. And I'd love to interconnect and interact with you guys. So again, thanks ever so much for listening today. And thanks for all that you do for the Law Entrepreneur. And I'll see you next time on The Law Entrepreneur. Once again, I'd like to thank our sponsors for today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur, Ruby Receptionists. They, along with our old friends at Spotlight Branding, as well as Market Circle, the makers of Daylight, are the ones that make this podcast possible, and for them, I am very grateful. So please be sure to visit their websites. You can find the locations in the show notes for this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. Or you can go to our website, thelawentrepreneur.com, and navigate to the resources page, and there you can find a way to get to each of their websites. So please visit their websites, sign on as clients. I'm a client now of all three, and I think you'll be happy you did so. So that's Ruby Receptionists, Spotlight Branding, and Market Circle, the makers of Daylight.